Greetings to you all from the Ellingham household today. For 10 weeks since the lockdown was announced by the UK government in March, the nation has taken part in Clap for Carers each Thursday evening, concluding last week. Alongside the very many acts of kindness by carers have been other acts of kindness shown to people by people. And whether you were the ones running errands, phoning people, messaging people, sending people cards, making room for people to pass by safely while on your daily walk, waving or smiling at people, and so many more, or whether you were on the receiving end of any of those, I'm sure that they made a huge difference to help each of us feel connected. It would be such a tragedy if those were to stop now as the lockdown is starting to be lifted. I therefore wonder whether our topic this morning of the Trinity, one God in three persons, using the readings from this morning, might help us to reflect on our recent experiences that can help us consider how those acts of kindness might continue in the future. So let's take a listen to those readings now, read by David Suchet. And if those of you are interested, you can download a free reading app, the NI Audio Bible app. But let's pray before we listen and explore what God might be saying to us this morning. Lord God, as we listen to your word this morning, may both these sacred scriptures and our reflections on them point to you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to respond that all you would will for us today. Amen. So let's take a listen now.
Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
Weren't those readings rich? You'll be pleased to know that I am not going to do a deep dive into each of those, as though I would love an opportunity to unpack them all, I'm also aware that we have other things to do today. Now, you might be sitting there this morning itching to ask me a question, something like this: "Fiona, I've just sat and listened to those readings and none of them explicitly mention the word Trinity. So how are these going to help me think about continuing with acts of kindness?" You might even be wondering what the Trinity is and why the church refers to it. Well, at this stage, if I were to be giving awards for observation, then that would be a 10 out of 10. Because nowhere in the Bible is the Trinity explicitly noted. This is because it is a term that was introduced in the 3rd century AD as a way of trying to help people understand God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, all of those better, and as a means of guarding against charges that Christians were worshipping three different gods. So what is the Trinity? Maybe a better question to help us understand an answer might be, who is our God? Our God is a triune God. Our God is one being who exists in three persons: the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit, who have been there since the dawn of time. The triune God was there at the beginning when humankind was created, and we see that in verse 26 of Genesis 1. Therefore, the Trinity means that God is, in essence, relational. Relational in what way? Well, if we look at our readings, we can see that the Lord asks in Isaiah 6, verse 8, "Who will go for us?" Not me, but us. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the Spirit." And in verse 11 says, "Very truly, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen." Not, "I speak of what I know, and I testify of what I have seen." And in verse 14 of the Romans passage, that speaks of a relationship between all three persons of the triune God. Some theologians have referred to the Trinity using a number of analogies. One is in the form of a painted icon entitled The Hospitality of Abraham. And that may well be known to many of us, which our previous Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, has written a helpful devotion on. Each person of the Trinity is focused on the other, not itself. Each voluntarily circles the other two, pouring love, delight, and adoration into them. So a further analogy, the analogy of a dance, might be helpful. Now, you might be wondering how a dance could possibly happen between three people. Take a look at this, which was reported on across the globe almost this time last year. Maybe this dance looked a bit chaotic, but you could hopefully see the point about being connected and by being focused on each other. As if you're not focused on what the others are doing, it all ends up in a heap on the floor. And yet, by keeping attention on the others, thinking about the Trinity, it has the scope for profound, wonderful, life-changing and world-changing implications. Whilst the acts of kindness shown by many across the world over recent weeks are socially and personally ethical, as we reflect on these, perhaps a key question as we move ahead as the lockdown lifts is the basis of those acts centred on helping us achieve our goals for personal fulfilment or self-centeredness? Or are they like the Trinity, centred on relationship with God and wanting to know, serve, delight and resemble him in being truly other-centred? Well, the good news is I believe that the readings this morning gives us some clues to how we might be able to achieve that. Rather than looking for which persons are at work within each passage, I wonder whether trying to look for a key message in each might serve us better to gain a glimpse of how we can be more other-centred, like the Trinity. So let's start with Isaiah 6, a passage set in a time of disaster, not just for Isaiah, but also the nation of Judah. And yet amongst this, in verse 1, Isaiah is able to see the Lord holier than anything he'd ever previously known. God's true magnificence. Let the words from verses 1 to 4 sink in, recalling from last week the sound in the house at the coming of the Holy Spirit. Add to that Isaiah's response of seeing and recognising his sin, what we can think of as self-centeredness. This passage finishes with Isaiah having repented and being commissioned to go on the Trinity's behalf. Pause the video for a moment as you ponder what might that be saying to us, you and I, this morning about our view of God and our need to focus on other-centeredness as our motivation of acts of kindness. Moving on in the Romans passage written by Paul, someone who was anti-Jesus, persecuted the early Christians, and yet who met God in the persons of Jesus and the Holy Spirit as part of his conversion, and whose life ebbed and flowed in the dance of the Trinity. A passage that in the whole chapter of 17 verses, the person of the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times. And looking at verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, helps us see that when we surrender to God, as that's what being led means, we follow. We enter into a relationship with God. We become part of the dance. Interestingly, though the Greek word used here, huios, translated to the NIV as children, is not saying that we are small or young children, but rather as an adult child. And perhaps if we were to think about it more as Edward Thomas's sons, the local coach company, and in that way, as Christians, we are invited into working with the Trinity's desire to other-centeredness, to draw others into relationship with the Trinity and share in God's glory. Why not pause the video again for a moment as you ponder what being an adult child of God means to you to draw others into relationship with the Trinity through your acts of kindness moving forward. And then we come to the passage from John. We see again the need for a recognition of our need of someone outside of us and a need to be born from above. What I particularly love about this passage is that the narrative focuses on our human condition. Nicodemus, though knowledgeable, is confused about some of the things Jesus has been saying. And yet Nicodemus, seen as confused here, pops up on numerous occasions, including at the burial of Jesus. Whilst the text in John is not explicit about Nicodemus becoming a believer, a number of commentators suggest that he does. I therefore wonder whether this helps us to see that our acts of kindness focused on other-centeredness may take years to break into people's lives and may require, like Jesus, a need to guide and chat through with people their questions and confusion about who God is and his character seen in the Trinity that might, like with Nicodemus, take more than one conversation. Maybe we too are like Nicodemus, as maybe each of us with these passages, either taken individually or all together, and talk of the Trinity completely blows our mind. Great, because it blows my mind too. Maybe we need to realise that being a disciple, whether that's been for a week, a month, or several months, years, or decades, does not mean that we fully understand all around God and the Trinity and what that might mean. Maybe we think or feel that things are a little muddled and we're looking for some clarity or an opportunity to ask questions or have some of our questions answered. Either way, this Tuesday, Alpha Online with Zoom starts, and this might be one way to help you to explore the Christian faith. Whether we are simply inquiring, are a new Christian, or have been a Christian for a long time and would like to refresh or refine our thoughts, you can sign up to do the whole course or alternatively tap into one-off evenings if there are topics of particular interest. Just let Alex know you'd like to come. So, as the lockdown starts to lift and the new normal starts, will our acts of kindness focus on joining in the dance with our triune God, who is other-centred, helping others to see his magnificence, his invitation to be in relationship with him, and seeing transformation in our communities and the whole of creation? I invite you now to spend some time in prayer, asking the Lord what he is asking you to do today, to know him better in this triangle dance and the part that he's asking you to play.